Hey, welcome back to Divas, Diamonds, and Dollars podcast, created for today's lady boss who's living her best life. We bring you the key success principles for personal finance, leadership, and business to help empower you with the tools and strategies to get ahead and succeed at a higher level. Folks, I'm Larissa Troach.
And I'm Cecilia Benford.
Ta-da! You may have noticed by my bright red. February is such a heart-centered month, from Valentine's Day on the 14th to American Heart Month. And that, folks, is to increase cardiovascular awareness, especially for women. And of course, for the more evolved, it's also Black History Month. So we are going to be all up in the heart mood today. This
Yeah. All right. I feel it. I feel it. Very good. Very good. So, it is my honor, privilege, and really just a must do PSA, public service announcement. This is Black History Month. And so, the only thing that I will put out there for you, and hopefully, it will invite you to go look it up. The 2024 Black History theme is African Americans and the arts. And who doesn't know about Blacks and the arts in so many categories? But we want you to, you can go to Smithsonian events, resources, exhibitions, podcasts. And as you may know, not just for African Americans, but in other ethnic groups and cultures, a lot of times the arts also have a very civic nature. The things that, and so for us, it has been how arts were used in the civil rights struggle, as well as today. Okay.
And unstated, but I think hopefully clear, is that the arts serve in many ways to bring people together. So that's an excellent theme for this month.
Yes.
Alrighty, and before we jump into today's conversation, just a quick reminder to subscribe to our podcast. One quick click to show your support. We would really appreciate it, as it helps us out a lot. And while you're at it, maybe think about one person you can share this episode with. Send it to a
Yes.
friend today.
All right. Okay, so wow, we all have headlines, right? I don't know about you. I'm just a clicking away. I'm like, oh, I already heard that. Oh, don't want to hear it. I get the news updates on my phone. I mean, I go in and out. Sometimes I'll do that for 3 months and then I get out of it because, it's just a lot, right? And so much of the headlines do really focus on the negativity and, spinning stories about otherness. When in fact, the science shows that we are more similar than we are different. Somehow that message doesn't seem to get across, but we do hope that you will hear that when we share, okay? When you consider community building around your platform or creating your company's culture, developing a more cosmopolitan outlook will serve you well. So Larissa is going to start us off with that. And we hope that you are along for this journey, that you will feel invigorated, motivated. Think about your own journey.
In case you missed it, when we closed out last week's podcast, we did define cosmopolitan. So I want to share with you what we're actually talking about, because today's topic, developing a cosmopolitan outlook, and maybe we'll call that a social experiment, right? So cosmopolitan means, where did I lose that definition? At home in all parts of the world or in many spheres of interest. And I think that kind of sums it up really well for me. When the dictionary, that was the American Heritage Dictionary, actually, definition, I'm calling myself welcoming to all. In real life, unless you have led a very sheltered life, I just don't know how you cannot. I feel that one is very likely to regularly encounter individuals from many cultures or backgrounds. I will say that when I first started with this company, I felt these folks have not met a lot of Black folks, and they definitely have not spent any time with them. And sometimes I still feel that way, which is kind of, I'm going to call that sad. It does could be. I just don't think it should be noticeable, but it is. So how you respond to such encounters, I think, can be very telling. An open-minded, welcoming response can lead to rewarding outcomes. On the other hand, a closed-off or narrow-minded response, it's going to be less so. So today we're kicking off the conversation by sharing how we, los dos, essentially came to develop our own personal brand of cosmopolitan outlook. Cecilia and I had very different, I mean, we obviously grew up in the same family, but once we reached adulthood, our paths diverged a bit. And but we've merged again, I think. And how we developed our brand over time, I think you'll see how that, for example, colors our interactions with others each day. Let's discuss. For me, I'll tell you right now, this is how I get up in the morning. It's one world, one love. That is how I meet people. Truth, justice, diversity, and tolerance. I think you need to come from that place when you're meeting other people. And you know, I'll tell you the truth though, as I was working on this particular section to share my story, I thought about my life growing up, and it occurs to me to wonder how much the books I read in my younger years actually affected my outlook as an adult. And belatedly, I think being an avid reader greatly influenced my current mindset. And for me, I'm telling you know when you're just saying things and you're like, huh. For me, that was a real Homer Simpson moment. It was definitely dope, of course. And I said, I know, I think we're all the kids were readers, but how much do you think books impacted your vision, your view of the world?
I'm not sure. I guess I would own that surely it did, because as you said, very much an avid reader, still am. So yes, as I'm speaking, yes, of course it did, right? Because the one thing is that I'm still curious, by nature. My reading is such that it's kind of like I can pick up a newspaper and or just see an article and really just want to read just to know more about it. I may not do anything with it, but I don't have to have, I don't want just my views. I do want to understand other people's views. So, I didn't think of it that way, but I was thinking through my actions. So you're right. Yes, very much influences my behavior and thinking.
And it's so weird. Like, why did it take me so long to come to that realization? But it's interesting to read about other viewpoints, other ideas, definitely other places that I may or may not get to. Now, I call myself a world traveler, but anyway, I just don't know how you can. I just don't know how you cannot be interested. I mean, at least be curious. And I have, for myself, I'm calling myself a global nomad, used to be called a military brat, but I'm like global nomad. And then, of course, I joined the military, and then having an interracial marriage, my husband was Puerto Rican, not something I even knew about, honestly. It just, you meet different people through work, as I say. So as a child, I was only aware, honestly, of Black and white people. Again, you don't know what you don't know. And once I joined the Air Force, my horizons expanded to include my roommate, who happened to be Mexican. I'm like, huh. I just felt like, I'm walking around with wide-eyed wonder because I just did not even know what was out there. And after that, I'd say that my eyes were opened, bigger, and I could see and enjoy the colorful tapestry that surrounds me. It's so utterly strange to hear me hear about people who are born, raised, grew up, and still living in the same place with no thought to explore the world around them. I don't know how you can be incurious like that, especially with today's event and oh my gosh, the internet. How can you not want to know? And I, said I've been a world traveler. I'm a California import, if you will. So not only did I grow up in the military, but also served and traveled extensively. Not as much as Cecilia, but I got a few minutes. I can do some more travel. As a matter of fact, my friend from Canada, we met at a retreat and we've stayed in touch. I'm sure it's been at least 20 plus years. We might be going to Australia this year, so that might be exciting.
Oh, I've been looking at Australia too. So yeah, we got that blood in us, girl. I don't know who's gonna get there first, but
Yeah,
I
well,
definitely have been looking at
you
that.
report back and we'll see what we got going
Okay.
on. And then, of course, I landed in the ultimate melting pot after military service, the San Francisco Bay Area. And I arrived in the 80s here. And at the time, if you weren't born here, you weren't Californian. But I've been here so long, I'm pretty sure I'm officially Californian at this point. I haven't heard that phrase in a while, but and personally, I think it's better that I'm Larissa. I'm Californian, I'm Larissa. True to myself. And the other thing, if you will, that I think carries through my day-to-day interactions with others, the international peace symbol. Now, I think most of us consider a smile to be universally received as welcoming or inviting. Don't wait for someone else to smile at you first. Brighten someone's day or put someone at ease with a friendly smile. This doesn't mean you have to show all 32 of your pearly whites, and I think that's the number, I'm not sure. Maybe that's before your wisdom teeth come out. I wanted to look that up. You definitely want to walk around grinning like a Cheshire cat because that's going to be a little weird. But think friendly and let your smile reach your eyes. Just don't grimace. That little fake smile is worse than no smile. I will say that having been terminally shy as a youngster, only breaking out in my 40s, I do, my face just falls into a smile as I'm walking around. That must mean I'm having pleasant thoughts. And then strangers do smile back mostly. But funny, what's funny to me when I must have had a conversation about it, but I don't remember the whole conversation. But what I do remember is I had a coworker, friend many years ago, Natasha, who told me Russians don't smile for no reason. So, there is that. I just thought that was funny. I don't know if I asked her why she didn't smile or what the conversation was, but that has stuck in my head low these many years that, okay, maybe that's not, but I think generally speaking, I would call that the international peace symbol. Now, what does this all mean to you? Yeah, that's my story. And how does it relate? I'm just going to suggest that maybe you want to travel, see the world, folks, or at least explore different neighborhoods. You cannot stay on your own block for your whole life. Or I recommend, I'm going to use the S word, you shouldn't. Volunteerism also is another great way to meet people you wouldn't normally encounter. So, I mean, my story is different from your story. However, there are enough similarities that you can, adapt some of your own pieces and explore and expand your cosmopolitan outlook. And I know you've got a story based on your work history for sure.
Your work history certainly informs you for the rest of your life. You don't even realize it in so many ways. So I'm going to start with one thing you mentioned was volunteerism. I do a lot of volunteerism today, and I've always been a volunteer outside of the workplace, but one thing that it does for you is it allows you to share other people's experiences because sometimes people only see you as the work environment, but you sort of need to bring that outside experience in too. And so before I, kind of get into that, I'm gonna, address the workplace culture, but try not to get, give you all the beans today because we will talk about it again, but for me, workplace culture is something that I identified for myself as a leader when I was working, when I would work with different bases, I realized there's a different culture at different bases. And a lot of it's regional, but it is just something that I learned about and used it, to get things accomplished. So with that as kind of a teaser, the question is it nature or is it nurture? It's kind of like the question, are leaders born or are they made? That is a question that people still ask today. I think it's both. So with that as a backdrop, the same question would apply to one's cosmopolitan outlook, or if you don't have it, their lack thereof. So with my background as a high performance leader, my role had a direct impact on the team's culture for our division. And I was aware of that, and it was super important for me to demonstrate that. Senior leaders knew that and would talk to me about it. Hey, that was my brand. I liked it, but I also lived it. And so I'm just going to use, so as a former work, one where I went in on somebody else's schedule, so to speak, versus my own schedule today, because I do work. It's just not in my former career. But one thing, let's just use a volunteer role real quick. There are hundreds of volunteer organizations. And so if you cannot travel, it is amazing what you can learn about different organizations. Today, I am working with an immigration and refugee organization. You think that's not about the world? Oh my goodness. You're talking about, people having to learn English as a second language, and yet these people speak five languages. You talk about, people needing certain resources. Dayton is considered a welcome city, but they have a lot of challenges. They don't necessarily step up to the plate. So what I've learned is it has opened up my aperture, if you will, how I look at the world even further. Okay. So if you can't go somewhere, you know what? Look in your own community. Okay. So back to the workplace culture. And as you can see, I'm probably a little bit passionate about that. I was. So as a civil servant, as a federal government employee or Department of Defense, depending on what name you wanted to use, there's a lot of umbrellas for that. But working in procurement most of my career, I work with people from all over the world. I would get employees that were allowed to come into the federal government, and I do mean from all over the world. And I would learn about their culture. I would connect with people to understand when I'm looking at a person who seems to be very adept and can learn and could really be an asset, but they have inhibitions because of where they come from. So I needed to find a way to connect with them, how to bring them into the organization, right? So ultimately, my thing is you have to bring everybody into the organization. Okay. So my government work, the fact that not only that I worked at three different bases, but even before I got into the government, procurement job, but just even having worked at the CIA with my co-op experience in Washington, D.C., that's a huge eye-opener because I was working with Russian foreign intelligence. So there are a lot of opportunities that I had that shaped me and my thinking going forward. And then I traveled to many states, and every time I would go TDY, tour of duty, as we call it. Well, for the most part, I would try to find what else was in the city that was going on. And a lot of people don't do that. They just go to work, come back home. No, not Cecilia. Is take advantage of learning about places. And very, very thankful for that opportunity. So, as I've already alluded to, that influenced my leadership role. If you're trying to get a mission accomplished, it really is about the people. Let's face it, right? Sure, there are processes. Sure, there are tools that you must go through. And for us, it's about putting together a contract. But because we're talking about putting together a contract, how many different functional groups that I had to interact with, that's culture. How to communicate with so many different people, and how to break through some log jams at times for different reasons. And sometimes, people just are what they are, right? And so greatly, there you just can't say, oh, as a financial manager or a logistician, that's your job. Your job as a leader really is about breaking through whatever walls that there might be to make not only meeting things in a timely manner, or maybe you have a tight contract, but it's about the relationship. So to me, the cosmopolitan outlook includes that one-on-one relationship. And for me, I also used to walk around. I always was trying to find ways, places to walk around. And so, as you said, Larissa, about to smile, sometimes I even wonder about myself. I was like, okay, is this girl on something? But I always smile at people. I just somehow evolved into this person that smiled and spoke to people. And you're right, everybody's not gonna speak to you, but that's okay, So, and then I have to say the other thing that helped me in this leadership role is towards the last several years of my career when we started hiring a lot of people out of college. Well, that's a whole nother aspect of learning because it's like, okay, everything you thought you knew before, guess what? You now need to take some training into all the generations and how they think and how they want to be consulted and talked to and included or not. That is an experience that I'm very grateful again that I had. And because I had so many numbers of interactions, that really helped me to understand a lot of things that I look at today. So, without continuing to go too far into this, I try to remember to speak some more about this when we talk about workplace culture again. But it is important that you get to know people no matter where you go. And hey, I can strike up a conversation in the store, and sometimes people strike up one with me, and I'm wondering, okay, what drew them to me? But that's okay. And I kind of remembered on one of my, I had a 2-month assignment in Washington, D.C. when I was working for the federal government. And I remember telling the group, I was in one of the federal big organizations, I mean, I could say the organization, but it doesn't mean much. But the real point was, I had dinner with these people one time, and I said, the culture here is all about work. You guys are all about get this work done. And of course, because of the commuting, they want to get in and get back out. And I understood that. I had to commute too, go drive or walk, depending on, I lived in a couple places, to get there on the subway. And the interaction with people from all over the world, but on a subway, you know what? People are not talking.
It's like
We're
it.
just trying to not even look at anybody. And so that was very odd for me because I'm used to speaking to people. Get to the elevator and people are just, in their own, don't look at it. So anyway, I talked, we had a talk about this. And I said, well, being Midwestern, forget about where that is, Midwestern, Ohio, this is what I'm used to. When I go to the grocery store, yeah, I'm going to the grocery store. I am trying to get what I'm trying to get, but I do notice other people around me. And so, depending on what the situation is, I'm in line or whatever, even if it's chatting about the weather, I'm going to talk to them. So, I think you can learn a lot just by talking to people, no matter what. So that to me was one of my things. That's the nurturing part of me, in that the nature, I think all of us children, Lisa, were kind of brought up in a shy manner, which is interesting. But we had the fortitude because of moving around. You had to make friends or not, right? And so I just think when I look back on it, I saw the evolution of my nature, and I became more nurturing as time went on. So that's my long, explanation about that. And then finally, not necessarily the last, but my Christian faith, my beliefs, which again, they're not, they, this is a process too. It's a journey. I wasn't always like I am today. But when I had the opportunity to look back at what, grounded me, I realized that my beliefs meant that if I believed what I was reading, and that we all are one, to your point, Risa, one people, one love. I needed to act like that. I needed to embrace that. I needed to really feel that. And therefore, that's how I wanted to, one, be known for really being who I say I am. There's a lot of people that say that, and I was kind of, like thinking, I don't know about that. But at the end of the day, no judgment on anybody else. It's really, I needed to be who I said I was. And one thing that I just use as an example, I had the opportunity to do a small group ministry called Faith at Work. And what that was really about is that I'm not a person on Sunday, a different person on Sunday than I am the rest of the week. My work is wherever I go, I am that same person to reach out to people living, my life, with a faith, based construct. And so, with that example of my journey, you ask yourself, what does this all mean to you? Well, remember I said in the beginning, I hope that, once we share our journey, that you too will kind of look back on your life and see, what your travels have been as a leader, as you've gone through your career, as you try, and as people move from a career to start their own business, all of this is very important. And no matter what anybody says in the United States alone, we're not going to stop people from, I mean, people coming in from all walks of life. And what I was kind of alluding to with volunteer organizations, there are people from all walks of life. So to be cosmopolitan, you need to be able to look at others, to embrace, different ideas. And what do you think from that? Well, hopefully you might learn something, learn something, nod your head. Said, oh, okay, I didn't know that. I continue to want to learn from other people. Sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes you got to put yourself out there, but that's what we're talking about. And each of our roles really are about the social experience, the human experience of life. And what do you want that to look like for you? What does it look like for you?
I'm hoping that, having shared our backstory, that you can find some pearls of wisdom that might apply to you and your journey. When I think about the umbrella of entrepreneurship, divas, diamonds, and dollars, everything that I'm saying is about, from the names of the campaigns that we have, or in this case, this podcast, my website. It's all about really being a multipreneur. And if you ask yourself, what does having a cosmopolitan outlook have to do with being a multipreneur or a successful businesswoman? Consider, without people, you have no business. And how you present yourself, how you treat others, is going to be impactful on your bottom line, frankly. And I hope that you can be inspired, if you will. I think we, it's not the most exotic upbringing lifestyle, but I will say it's also not the norm. And I'm hoping that, I think we look relatively normal, but you can kind of see how we turned out and how our journey brought us here and how you might be able to use some of these ideas, some of the, from the stories that we shared and explore how these ideas can help you shape the culture statement for your business or your personal passion platform. What is it you're all about and how everything and everyone honestly is interrelated. And you've heard the practice random acts of kindness. You see that on a bumper sticker everywhere. How about if you practice random acts of welcoming?
Hey, can I give you another example?
Please.
I just thought of this. I don't know why I didn't say it earlier. I didn't think of it until just now. Random acts of kindness. It was raining yesterday, and we were sitting in the bank taking care of some business, me and my husband. And I said, when we get through, we need to go over there and look and see what this corner new business is. Couldn't read the sign, but I thought it was a coffee shop. And so he said, okay. So, I drive over there and I think it does say, I don't remember what the words were out there, but I understand coffee in different languages, but I also saw chai and latte and what have you. So it's just funny. My husband's like, okay, I want some coffee. I said, well, they have coffee here. And so I go in, I'm reading the signs, and I get that it's more about different teas, but they do have some coffee. And I said, look, so I was pointing out to him. And so my other reason for going in there today, I am all about watching how people start businesses. I knew it was a new business, and I believe in supporting businesses, And so when I went in, and this young lady was, she was just excited for somebody to be there, I believe. Cute place. But real quick to end this, I don't want to go on and on. But on the one hand, my husband one didn't necessarily want to try something different. But I was like, okay, how about, try something different? And the lady said that. Yeah, this is one of our favorite. As it was Vietnamese coffee. She's Vietnamese. And but she had so many other new little drink offerings, mostly tea and some little different macaroon cookies. And I asked her some questions and how she was advertising. And she was just so thankful. And I said, I'm not always on Facebook, but I am going to get on Facebook and I'm going to, give a shout out for this because people need to know where you are. It's a little difficult kind of where it's located, but this is a very nice place. And she was just so thankful. So just, take an off chance, stop in somewhere, speak to somebody, make their day. I mean, it really makes you feel good when you walk out. And oh, by the way, hey, that's how you hold somebody walk into your business and good customer service. And who knows, you may have a new customer for life. And I told him, I said, I'll be back.
So there you have it, one more example of being very open-minded to the world around you and welcoming and supportive. So I think there's a lot of things for you to use as you craft your cosmopolitan statement, however you want to call that. Anyway, in your approach to your company and your business and the world around you, take action on that today. Now, next week, we will continue the conversation about a cosmopolitan outlook, and we will explore creating your company culture, which we talked about. We just didn't go into detail. So whether you are a large company or a small company, you still need to have a culture. It defines you.
Yes.
So set the dial to you are welcome here, and we will see you next time. Cheers.